I also want to take the time to make sure that Bryce's tribute is read. And so these are Bryce's words. Although she moved on to a better place, in the back of my mind, I can still imagine her sitting in her favorite chair, watching the news every night with some food cooking in the pot in the kitchen. I miss her already, and I always will. I'm sure she will have a great time telling stories about me to my mother, her husband Frank, and her other daughter Denise. I can't be mad, as she had lived a great long life. Just like Belinda, she was loved and helped everyone around her and left an impression in everyone's heart. She will always be remembered. I know she will be watching over me, making sure I am okay. Even though I wish she could be there in person, I know she is watching me from a better place. My mother and my grandmother definitely created a lasting impact on my life and helped me change into the great person they knew I will grow up to be. For that, I say thank you and will always love the both of you, Bryce. I'd like to direct our attention to John chapter 13. And it's a pretty familiar story. It's the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And so let me go ahead and read this. John chapter 13, it begins at verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the end. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence and your ministry to us already. Thank you for meeting us in our grief today. And thank you for the hope that you meet us with. And we pray now that as we give our attention to your word, that you would speak afresh to us, that you would help us to hear you, to receive you, to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Vaughn and I have been blessed with a lot of memories across the years of Sister Lynn, 35 years, privileged to be her pastor. And back in the early days, I would visit her and Brother Frank. And I think my day was usually Thursday afternoons. And I would come by and sit with Sister Lynn, sit with Brother Frank, and we would talk Padres. And most of the time, it was kind of a depressing conversation, but they had Tony Gwynn, and that was a bright spot, and so we talked Padres a lot. And then we would also always come by across the years Christmas caroling, And you all have been speaking about steak and all of that stuff. But let me tell you, at Christmas, when the church would come by, we had wings. And Sister Lynn could make some wings like nobody else. No offense, Sister Gussie. You guys can argue it out up there in heaven. But Sister Lynn could make some wings and I could eat some wings. And so that was, that's kind of a lasting memory. Somebody said that Sister Lynn never complained, or they never heard Sister Lynn complain. I heard her complain once. But her complaining was kind of different, because when she complained, she wasn't complaining about somebody else. She was complaining to me about me, which I appreciated. You know, too often everybody complains about the pastor to somebody else. But she complained to me about me that I was supposed to be somewhere and I wasn't there. And I think maybe Frank had gone into the hospital for something and I didn't get there and he was already back home. And she let me know that as pastor, it was my job to be there. I took that to heart. And across the years, I've tried to be there. There are times that I haven't been there. Really blessed with Pastor DeAndre, and he has been there. And so we have kind of a team approach. But those words, you know, that lesson where she complained to me about me instead of complaining to the church about me. And that was just part of her character. More memories that come to mind. She would pray for the church, and, you know, everybody prays for their church. Lord, be with the church. Lord, bless the church. Lord, help the church. But when she prayed for the church, she named off everybody in the church by name. And, you know, thank you for Brother Mac. Thank you for Brother Artis. Always giving thanks for everybody in the church, too. Now, I don't know. Again, this made an impact on me. And that she would pray for the church, member by member, name by name, even if it was just, thank you, Lord. And the church would change. We'd have new people come, and Sister Lynn wasn't able to make it out to church at times because of being a caregiver. And yet she would want to know who was new and what was going on in people's lives. And she would incorporate the new people into her prayers. And so maybe she didn't know them very well. Maybe she wasn't very close to them. But if they were part of the church, they were part of the family. And so she would pray for them by name, giving thanks to God. And then it was kind of neat in years later when she was able to make it to church more often to see her begin to embrace people that she had known about but hadn't really known. And again, just the joy that she would bring into the church. And she was praying for the church, name by name. I also think about her joy and her laughter, and how she, she'd get to talking on the phone with Vonda, and the two of them would just have a good laughing time. And just, again, the joy that was evident in her voice and in her laughter. Remember when she got when she went through knee replacement? And just kind of her determination to persevere through that she didn't want to be slowed down, that she wanted to be able to keep on going. I imagine it was because she didn't want to be slowed down in any store. And, some people have walk-in closets. I had this sense that she had a walk-in garage. And that her garage was just kind of transformed. But anyways, privileged to be her pastor and to know her. And, you know, more than anything else, she loved, and she loved to the end. She served, and she served to the end. I think about the opening line of this chapter, this story of Jesus. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then he washes their feet as a demonstration of that. And Sister Lynn, for the 35 years that I have known her, she loved to the end. And she washed feet. She cared and she gave care. And I saw her across the years in terms of giving care for Frank. Never heard her complain about that. Just faithfully caring for Frank, doing what she could to meet his needs, loving him to the end. And then I saw her do the same thing with Denise. And caring for Denise and taking Denise into the home, into their home, and just faithfully caring for Denise. And if Denise had to go into a care center, she was there. And she would find a way to get there. When she didn't like to drive or her eyes were getting bad, she would take surface streets instead of the freeway. But she was always there, loving Denise to the end, caring for her, serving her, washing feet, just like Jesus taught us to do. And same thing with Belinda. Doing everything that she could, loving Belinda to the end, just caring for her, washing her feet, serving her. Just, that was Sister Lynn. And again, I didn't hear her complain about the work of giving care. And then across the years, seeing her care for her sons, for Dennis, for Larry, giving care, watching over, doing everything she could. And again, just following the example that Jesus called us to follow, loving to the end. And then with Bryce, you know, Bryce taking you in, and she loved you and cared for you, and I think you were her reason for life most of the time. And again, just loving, loving, loving. And so I think about this, and this is what really gets me. I never saw Sister Lynn play the victim. You know, when I think about her life and just the loss that I saw her go through, just the loss that I saw her experience in terms of her husband, in terms of her two daughters, I never saw her play the victim. I saw her hurt. I saw her cry, brokenhearted. But I never saw her get stuck there to where she just became a bitter, broken victim of the things that came in life. What I saw, who I saw, was a victor. Not a victim, a victor. And she had, and you guys know this as well, better than I do, she had hard times. She had lament, she had heartbreak, she had sorrows, but she never allowed herself to become simply a victim of all those bad things. Instead, she prayed, she cried out to God, and she lived victoriously. She lived in victory. Through the power of Jesus, she kept on caring, she kept on washing feet. And I don't know, I kind of have a question today. Sister Lynn, how did you do that? You know? Because that's enough to knock most of us into victimhood, to where we would never recover. And yet she went through all of that, and she's a victor. Not a victim. And so, Sister Lynn, how did you do that? Well, I think I hear her nudging me to think more about Jesus. Because you talk about someone that could play the victim. Jesus got turned on by his own people. Turned on and crucified. And Jesus never played the victim. He's the victor. He is the victor. So how was Jesus able to do that? And I think John is telling us here in these opening verses, listen to them again. It was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the end. He showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped himself with a servant's towel, and started washing feet. How did Jesus have the power, the freedom, to humble himself in such a way to wash his disciples' feet? Even one of them whom he knew was going to betray him, and the rest of them he knew were going to abandon him. How was he able to do that rather than play the victim? He knew his relationship with the Father. He knew he came from the Father. He knew he was returning to the Father. He knew the Father loved him. He knew the Father placed all things under him. He knew that the Father's love would not be unbroken by anything that happened. He knew the Father's purpose for him. And in that purpose and in that knowing, there was the strength, there was the stability, there was the power to not give in to being a victim, but to be victorious in accomplishing the mission that the Father had for him. Okay, are you hearing me? That the way that Jesus was able to do what Jesus did was because of the strength and the stability and the purposefulness of his relationship with the Father. And out of that relationship, there came the strength to not be victim, but to be victor, no matter what was done to him. I think that that may be the clue to how Sister Lynn was able to be victor rather than victim. That she knew Jesus. She knew his love. She knew that he was her source of life, and she knew that one day she would be going home to him, and that he had prepared a place for her. And she knew that he had a purpose for her so long as she had breath. And that purpose was to love and to care and to wash feet. No matter how difficult, no matter how heartbreaking, no matter how challenging, she knew who she was. She knew whose she was. That she belonged to Jesus, and that so long as she had breath, Jesus had purpose for her to love to the end. And it didn't matter whether it was loving to the end to somebody else's end, Brother Frank, Denise, Belinda, or whether it was loving to her own end. She knew that was Jesus' purpose for her. And so she victoriously lived in to that purpose. And she was able to do things that very few of us would be able to do. She got past being a victim, got past feeling sorry for herself about having so much loss in her life. She had a relationship with Jesus that was full of love and purpose, and out of that came the power and the freedom to keep serving and to keep loving and to keep caring and to keep washing feet to the end. Through Christ, she did all things. Amazing. So today, as we celebrate and cry, I find that we are challenged by her. That she is leaving us with a challenge. She is leaving us with a legacy that we would choose to be victors rather than victims. That all of us deal with stuff. All of us deal with loss. All of us deal with hardship. You know, and Dennis and Larry and Bryce, her passing, it's huge. Brother Smith, it's huge. And so how do we go on? Her challenge to us is that we would go on not stuck as victims, but that we would go on victoriously. But she would be the first to tell us, you're not going to be victorious in your own strength. You're not going to be victorious in your own attitude. You're not going to be victorious just by kind of positive thinking. That the only way you're truly going to live victoriously, the only way you're really going to be a victor, is through Christ Jesus, amen, who strengthens us. Amen. And that through Him, we can do all things, including living victoriously in the midst of loss. And it doesn't mean that we deny loss. I never saw Sister Lynn deny loss. I never saw her deny, like, well, you know, Brother Frank is gone. No big deal, I got Jesus. No, Brother Frank was gone. That was a big deal. But because she had Jesus, she didn't get stuck being a victim. But she could be victorious in the loss. Same thing with Denise. Same thing with Belinda. Never heard her deny the loss. Never heard her say anything like, no big deal, Belinda's gone, Denise is gone, but I still have Jesus. No, it was a huge deal. Broke her heart to lose her daughters. But she still had Jesus who gave her victory. And so that she was able to live victoriously rather than be the victim. A little bit of a funny story, but I think it's a window that she was living victorious. She was talking to me a while back. Brother Smith, it was kind of about you. And what happened was, she was supposed to go somewhere, be somewhere, and you were going to come pick her up and take her so that she didn't have to drive. And maybe it was to church. And you were late. And she got it in her mind that she was going and that there was a set time she had to be there. And she just went ahead and went without you. And you showed up trying to figure out where was she? And she had already gone, and she wasn't going to, she just wasn't going to mess around and wait. You know, that tells me that she was living. You know, that little bit, she was kind in it all, but that little bit of, I don't know, stubbornness, that little bit of perseverance, that little bit, that tells me she was living victoriously rather than being stuck as a victim. Because when you're stuck in victimhood, you don't have any initiative. And so right up to the end, she was living with initiative. She was living victoriously, challenging as life could be. And never heard her deny that life was hard, but never heard her give in to simply being a victim. Always living victoriously in Christ Jesus. And that's her legacy, and that's her challenge to you and me, that we would learn to live that victoriously. And again, how are we going to do it? The only way we're going to do it is the way she did it. And that is living surrendered to Christ Jesus. And that as we live surrendered to Him, He fills us with His love, and we begin to recognize His purpose for us. Like He was teaching the disciples, like He taught Sister Lynn, to imitate Him and to care for one another and to wash one another's feet and to love one another to the end. That is our hope. That's our prayer. That's her legacy to us. That's her challenge to us. That we would have that same kind of a relationship with Jesus, to where we're so filled with His love, so gripped by His purpose for us, that like Sister Lynn, like Jesus Himself, we would love to the end. Let us pray. Father in heaven, You know our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. We first thank You for Sister Lynn and for her testimony to us all of the power that You give to live victoriously. And we confess our need today for that power. And we know that it's only going to come through our relationship with You. And so we confess our sins to You. We confess that we fall short of Your glory. We confess our inadequacy to You. We confess our tendency to feel sorry for ourselves and to get stuck in victimhood. We confess that sometimes we just get angry and we get stuck there as a victim. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Our losses are real. Our hearts hurt. But Lord, we don't want to get stuck. And so we pray that we would know Your love and Your strength and Your power, and that You would enable us to live victoriously in the midst of loss, never denying the loss, but living in Your power. Help us to love to the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time, we're going to hear a song, and I invite you to continue to pray and reflect as the song is playing.